We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us right now, the voice of the New York Mets on the radio home of the Mets, WOR, and that is the great Howie Rose. Howie, how you been?
Hi, Howie. How are you?
I've been well. It's a pleasure to speak to both of you. Good to hear your voice again, Joe.
Thank you, Howie. Thank you.
What was your thoughts yesterday? And you were there. I heard you ask a question. But as you're hearing the emotion in David's voice and what he was explaining to all of us, what was going through your mind as a guy that's basically seen every move, every play he's had as a Met?
Yeah. You know, the one word I kept using on the air yesterday was melancholy. I can't find a better one than that. And I think I was actually caught a tad off guard, because when Jeff Wilpon opened it and started by saying it's a very sad day, that threw me for a tiny loop, if only because I thought the announcement was going to be that they would activate David for the last homestand and then kind of take it from there. I didn't think there'd necessarily be any finality delivered yesterday, but clearly there was. And so my emotions get back to that word I just used, melancholy. On one hand, I'm sad that David doesn't get to do this on his own terms. I'm hurt for him that he was hurt to the point where it curtailed and ruined the back end of his career. But I'm happy for him because he's got a life to live, and he's got two very, very young daughters, and it's going to be great that even though they won't remember it firsthand, there'll be video to support that they were there the day he played his last game. That means so much to David, but it's about the rest of his life and getting healthy and staying healthy enough to enjoy playing ball with his kids and having a normal life that any father would want to have.
You know, it's really, you know, and how, you know, I go back like you to the day one in 1962. And there, you know, there's like been nobody. I mean, we think of all the great players that we've had, whether it's, you know, whether it's Seaver, whether it's Kuzmin, whether it's Doc, whether it's Darryl. You know, none of these guys finished their careers as Mets. None of them. Mm-hmm. And here's the guy that's finally going to do it. And it has to, you know, and you have this circumstance with it. I mean, it's very depressing when you think about it.
Well, if you choose to make it that way, and at times it's almost involuntary, yeah, it can be. But I want to sort of look at the rest of the build-up to the 29th, and certainly on that date, as a celebration, really, of David's career. Because we knew it was moving in this direction. It was painfully obvious that he was never going to get back to being not only the player he was, but really a full-time major leaguer. So I think we've all kind of made our peace with that over the last year, at least, if not more. So that for me, I just want to celebrate David Wright, the person, before we even talk about David Wright, the player. He is unique to Mets history, as you point out. He's the one that will have played the entirety of his career with the Mets, almost all of it, at a very high level. But the person he is transcends anything that he's done on the field. And that's what I want to embrace over these next couple of weeks.
When I think about the on-the-field stuff, and I've thought about it a lot now over the last, you know, 24 hours almost since this announcement went down, I really think about 2015 more than I even do the 06 run, because I think to a lot of Met fans, we're bitter about 06. It ended in a bad way, and then the collapses of 7 and 8. He was right in the middle of 15. You know, we were talking about it earlier, the home run in Philly, the pump of the fist in D.C., the hit against Baez in Game 1 that really won Game 1 against the Dodgers, the home run in Game 2 of the World Series. I found myself thinking more about 2015 with David than anything else, and thank God he was able to come back for that run, because I think that almost enhanced everything he did as a Met. What do you think about that?
Evan, you have mirrored every thought and emotion that I have about David in those couple of sentences, because to me, we'll always remember the young David Wright. We'll always remember, at least I will, that hit over Johnny Damon's head, which won a game against the Yankees, dramatic comeback early enough in 2006 so that you could see that they were headed towards a pretty good year. But 15 not only meant so much to Mets fans to win the pennant, but to have David Wright central to that was so important and so satisfying. And I've told him this, by the way, that when I think of his career, and there are a lot of hits and a lot of plays and a lot of moments we can talk about, but I will never forget that one swing in Philadelphia, his first game back about 4 months. And I told him this after the game that night. I'll never forget it. We were on the bus going back to the hotel, and he was sitting right behind me. And I just looked at him, and I said, David, I can probably count on less than the necessary of fingers, amount of fingers on one hand, the number of times that I've made a call, whether it was in baseball or hockey, and literally could feel the goosebumps while I was making the call. And that home run that night, that was one of them. That's one of the most memorable moments that I can recall in the history of the New York Mets because of who David is.
Yeah, no question about it. Talking to the great Howie Rose, the radio voice of the Mets. We got to talk about this team a little bit, with you know, because they played so much better baseball since the All-Star break. But I want to throw one guy at you here. And you tell, what is Michael Conforto in your mind at this point now, Howie?
I think he is a rehabilitated player, which is the key word, because he spent a good chunk of this year rehabilitating.
Right, okay.
And I think now it's about just smoothing out a few rough edges and just making him a little bit more polished at the plate so that, and I think he's talked about this too, you know, his mindset is better. He's not confused about what he's looking for. I mean, he still has vulnerabilities that he and Pat Russell are working on, but he's just, he's himself now. And I know that he's hit some home runs off of left-handers, and that's great. And he's pulled some big home runs for long distances, like he did on the last road trip in Chicago, and as he did just yesterday, hitting it into the Coca-Cola corner at Citi Field. But when we know Michael Conforto is all the way back, it's going to be because he's hitting line drives with authority, gap to gap, almost line to line. And he's not quite there yet, but he almost is. And I think what'll get him there is a full normal off season, because obviously he didn't have that last year. He was rehabilitating the whole time. So I think we're seeing just about every indicator that you can expect really big things from Michael next year.
We're talking to Howie Rose, voice of the Mets on the radio home of the Mets, WOR. I remember at the end of 2014, sitting at Citi Field thinking, they're coming. The Mets are going to be good next year. Even though it had been year after year of finishing under 500, you could feel it changing. And they finished the year strong, and they're finishing the year strong right now. I mean, they've got DeGrom and Wheeler throwing the baseball better than anybody. Do you get that sense? Is this 2014, or is it, you know, is it different in that there are so many holes that they need to fill offensively in the bullpen? Do you have that feeling that you had? I assume you had that in 14, because you could feel things turning. What do you think?
Well, to an extent, but, you know, even in 2015, when the injuries started piling up, you have to remember where they were in late July, you know, before they brought Michael Conforto up and then made the deals that they did. They were just a couple of games over 500. Nobody was talking pennant as late as about the 24th or 5th of July, and then everything started to change, and certainly Cespedes was the focal point and really the catalyst to that whole thing. But what I look at now is certain pieces coming together. I think you can look at four solid starting pitchers. And if you're going to build around that and fix the team around that, you have to catch the baseball. You have to be better athletically and fundamentally than they've been this year. That's a mandate. And I think one of the ways you do that is by what they've accomplished lately at the top of the order. Ahmed Rosario is a way better hitter now than he was 2 months ago. That's really encouraging. Now, can he hit leadoff to an on-base percentage of 320, 330? It's a little below 300 now, and that's still a pretty big leap. But I think right now, off of what you've seen, you've got to be encouraged. What really encourages me is Jeff McNeil in the two-hole, because I think, personally, and I'm not a scout, I don't have a trained eye the way talent evaluators do, but to me, he's checked just about every box, with the exception of sample size. He's going to have around 200 at-bats or so, and that's still a pretty small sample to simply bequeath second base to him. But I would personally take the leap of faith and say, he's my second baseman. He's my two-hole hitter. I love the way he handles the bat. I love the way he plays the game. I love having a left-handed hitter with patience behind a guy who can get on base and steal bases. And I think that's a pretty good start if, and that's the big question, both Rosario and McNeil continue to make the progress that they have over these last couple of months.
Yeah, and I love McNeil, what I've seen so far. How about Nimmo? What do you look, when you see Nimmo, what do you look at him being, Hal?
Maybe a guy who is a 400 at bat type, who, and I don't know that you can sit here on the 14th of September and say that Juan Lagares is going to be healthy all of next year and you can plug him in as a platoon in center field. I think in their perfect world they like to do that, but I don't know how you can count on him given his medical history. But I think that ideally you could say to yourself, well, now Nimmo and Lagares would be a pretty nice platoon tandem there, because I think the jury's still out somewhat on whether Nimmo is in fact an everyday 500-plus at-bat player. So you certainly have to love what he's done this year and have every right to assume that he can repeat that next year. But will that be as an everyday player against most lefties or a guy who platoons with someone like Lagares? Maybe spring training determines that.
Mm. Are you all the way with Jake? You think he should win the Cy Young despite the win-loss record and the way the Mets play behind him? Because they play terrible behind him, and it's embarrassing.
Well, you know, I'm a little old school, and so it's been very hard for me to let go of the idea that wins means quite a bit. But stepping back objectively, we know the way the game is played now. And we see not only what's happened with Jacob, but with every team and every pitcher, where you can pitch 6-7 great innings, and then the bullpen lets it get away. Or you can just not hit the way they've done for DeGrom, and it doesn't matter how long he goes. My very, very simplified way of looking at it is I've seen every one of Jacob's starts. I've seen how he goes about his business and what he's been able to do. And I refuse to believe, and Max Scherzer's been great, and Aaron Nola's been great. I have not seen every one of their starts, but I absolutely refuse to believe they could possibly have been any better than Jacob DeGrom has been this year. To me, Jacob has been the best pitcher in baseball, period, and should win the Cy Young Award, regardless of wins and losses.
Is Wheeler an elite pitcher now in your mind? Has he turned the corner to the point where you say, you know what, this guy's found it, and he's like a top-of-the-rotation guy now? You look at him like that?
You know, Joe, elite is such a strong word, isn't it?
And he's strong.
It's a really strong word, and it's easy to grab onto what he's done and say, yes. And I love the adjustments that he's made with Dave Island, who, by the way, has been fabulous. I think the job Dave Island has done this year has been just off the charts great, but, you know, you can talk to the other pitchers about that and let them handle it. As far as Wheeler goes, the work that he's done, not only with Dave, but just on his own head, I think has allowed Zach to turn the corner because, you know, he's had a pretty significant injury history too.
Right.
And there was a time even early this year when he was a little bit squeamish and afraid of getting hurt and really letting it go. But he basically just adopted the mindset, some of that with Dave's help, that, you know what, que sera, sera. I'm just going to rear back and let it go, and I'm not going to worry about getting hurt. And if I do, I do. I'm 28 years old. I'm not a kid anymore by baseball standards, and I'm just going to be the best I can possibly be using all the tools in the bag. And he's done that. And I'd like to think that if he stays healthy, he can continue to do it. You know, the other thing is, next year is his walk year.
Right,
so
yeah,
from a motivation standpoint, yeah.
Right.
You know how that works now.
Oh, yes, we do.
They're struggling, and it's July in there. Start the rumors and everything, and who needs that? So I think it's incumbent for everybody to get off to a great start next year and sustain it long beyond what they did at 11-1 this year.
Well, 2 weeks from Saturday is going to be be the hot ticket.
Yep.
I mean, it already is, and it's going to be the place to be as David Wright will play for the final time Major League Baseball. It's going to be an emotional night, that's for sure, and we appreciate you coming on to talk about it.
Real quick, Howie, retire his number, yes or no?
Absolutely. Now, there's a protocol and there are procedural things that you have to do. But whether it's next year or sometime beyond that, I mean, let's be honest. And this is with apologies to Joe Foy and great Ed Charles and Stevie Henderson
and
Mike Phillips and anybody else who came along. I think you can rest assured no one will ever wear the uniform number 5 for the New York Mets again after David Wright hangs it up.
Rightfully so. Thank you, Howie.
Thanks, Howie.
Appreciate
anytime,
guys.
Howie Rose, the voice of the Mets on the radio home WOR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.